The fuck? It's telling me live streaming isn't available right now.
Nice.
There we go. It's taking us live now. Sorry, Google was machine was saying no to us for a second there. But we are now live. Let us know in the chat if you can hear us correctly. That was a strange technical issue, but it wasn't a boomerism. But we've managed it, guys. We are having a recap stream. I think the first recap stream, I'm not sure. Are we actually first?
No, somebody called Walrus, who's one of the foreign people that was there, did one with Green River and a couple of other folk, Leo and someone else, earlier on today, I think. But obviously theirs just won't be anywhere near as cool as ours will be, so like, of course ours is the first.
It's saying we've gone live, but it's not gone live for me. It still says people are waiting.
Yeah,
That's bizarre.
same. I haven't refreshed it, so it says waiting.
Oh my fucking.
Yeah, it still says upcoming for me.
What the fuck? Evelyn, can you start the stream on your end?
No, I only have the option to end the stream.
What the hell?
Right, let's tell you what, let me end the stream on this end and then start it, see what that does.
No, if you end it, it ends it. So
All right.
that's just bizarre. Yeah. I've never had this issue before.
On your end, does it say, is it live now
It
or
says it's
not?
going, it says it's live.
Something's happening on my end. No, it
Oh,
still says upcoming.
fuck's sake.
Typical. If I cut off the OBS stream and start that back up again, will that maybe restart it?
Yes, there we go. It's made us
Oh,
live.
hey. Hello, everyone.
That was weird. Yeah, we had like a ridiculous no, not boomer stream. That was Google's end. It said we were live on the back end for about a good full 2 minutes before it took us live. So hopefully that's not on the VOD. If it is, I'll just take it off. But yeah, welcome. Welcome, people. Google has finally decided to put us live. So we are now live.
Yep.
That was a ridiculously stupid fault. This is a useless service. Good Lord, that was bad. That's the worst I've seen it for quite a while. But don't worry, guys. You mentioned, well, so we'll re-go over some stuff we did while we were slightly panicking about it going live there. But there has been another recap from Mr. Walrus, you said?
Yes, Mr. Walrus and some of the other, as I think as I described them, the foreign folk that were at the event.
Ah, the foreign, the European folk.
Yes, they are of course there, I'm afraid. But no, we need them to make up the numbers, so it's okay for now. But
There was an
they're
interesting mix of people there, though.
all another always is.
For those of you who don't know, I'll just do a very quick intro, letting people know what's going on in case they've been living under a rock. Because we have tried to mention this a few times, but this will be a recap of the Shieldings Witten event that took place over the bank last bank holiday weekend. It was in the Midlands. I don't want to reveal too closely where it is because I've used that venue before. But it went rather well. We all had a lot of fun. You were speaking there. I was speaking there last year, and we will both be in the event book.
Yes.
Oh dear. I think it's cut off the some of our links for some reason. That's bizarre. But it's safety. It's Google's saying that the event site is dangerous. It's not. I don't know why it's flagged up like that. But if you want to buy the event book, ignore some of the ignore the Google safety stuff because the Shieldings site is completely
Or
fine.
not, you should actually acknowledge the Google safety warning because it's basically telling you that the site you're about to enter is based. Are you sure? I
I tried
notice
to make it go.
AA, the chat's posted a little ill emoji. Yeah, I suppose we are somewhat taking up the mantle from what he was going to do last night, which I believe was going to be an event recap, but Maybe storyline number one, as he might think of it, is the event coof, the overarching sort of narrative
Yes.
to it all.
We should introduce our guests first, though. If you want to quickly introduce yourself, Mr. Goose.
Hello, I am Mr. Goose, or Anti-Goose Action. I am basically on Twitter, and that's about it.
But you were at the event, and you are a pretty cool guy, so we thought you'd have you on. You're not a... There weren't that many complete Spurgs. There was an American who had a bit of a funny turn, but he also seemed they couldn't handle his booze.
Interesting.
That was a bit of an interesting one, but we'll not cause too much drama. I don't know, do you want to introduce yourself there as well? I'm not sure what to introduce you as because of your Discord name, but...
All right. Mostly known as Budding Squall. You'll see him on YouTube as Knight Rider of Albion. I'm one of the moderators for Basket Weavers. And I was the guy at the event with the best moustache.
Oh, yes, of course.
This is probably true.
Yes, as you can see on screen, we've had to censor some of the images. We're not quite sure who is and isn't a face fag, to put it in those terms. So I have done some creative censorship there with some of the images. The guy in the back with sunglasses we're talking about off air is someone we dubbed him Matrix Man when he came to one of our Nomos events. I think it was Nomos. Was it Nomos Birmingham he was at?
No, he came to the Manchester one.
Manchester.
Oh, he was at the Manchester one. Okay. OG. Very
yeah, I was
OG
gonna say,
of him.
He is. Of course he would be with that kind of fit.
Yeah, but he did dress like he was in the Matrix when he came there, so we decided to embrace it, so we call him Matrix Man. But he is there at the back, and the original image, he does have like big 90 shades on, so we thought we would retain the aesthetic.
Yes.
For
people are commenting on the photos as well. Depending on how things go, I know he's in the chat, we might have Yasin do a little Yasin's gallery. However, I suppose he could probably, if need be, like give commentary from the chat as we scroll through the images.
Yes, he's currently on. He's currently in the pub. He says so. Mm-hmm. I don't know. He might be doing the right thing.
That's probably true. I will also get this one up because Welsh Mafia Stronk. That's many
yes.
people with this much energy doing the Blair hands all in one place. Watch out. Be warned.
it's already a little bit blurry because it's a picture of Polaroid, but I do enjoy the censorship, and there will be a little bit more censorship going forward, because again, we don't want to like face reveal people by accident, especially when the event itself does have some, let's say, mildly controversial topics. So far as that UO live from it has been completely
what do you mean?
Old.
There wasn't a UO live.
There was never a UO live.
There was never a UO live at the Shieldings Witten. We will never speak of it again.
Well, I'm seeing Yasin in chat saying Welsh Mafia versus Birmingham Mafia. Does this mean we're already at the point where we're going to have like events, casuals fights? It's like people will show up for the next Nomos event, but they'll actually meet in some train station in London 2 hours before for a quick scrap.
Possibly, yes. We do have a few people in the chat though, so there are a few people lurking, but we won't be able to go through every speech. First of all, shall we get up the schedule a little bit and give people a little bit of an idea of what the weekend was like and who was speaking?
Yeah. Compared to last year, it was slightly less condensed, which I thought was a bit better, and it had to kind of be the case anyway because there was a bit of a walk between the venue and
the lecture hall,
which I suppose it wasn't a killer at the end of the day, and we had refreshments there as well, so when if it was one talk to the other, you didn't have to go back to get like a cup of tea or whatever.
No bother.
No, that's true. No booze during the day, but maybe that was a deliberate strategy, who knows.
Yes. And some people did bravely bring their midday pints with them.
I did see that.
I noticed a couple of people who had, although they may have been soft drinks, I don't know, but they did have possible midday pints / drinks with them in the lecture hall.
Oh, no, I know it was definitely just Diet Coke and a Guinness class, they swear.
They do swear. I don't know. I'll ask you guys, our guests, first of all, what was your highlight of Shieldings then? What do you think was the best aspect of it? Although I imagine we'll have similar answers, but.
As always, I find it's definitely the people that you meet there as a focus. Not so much like, of course, there was a lot of networking going on, but just meeting some wonderful people from all across the country. Amazing, as always.
You have one a teeny bit scrambled there. I think it might be your headset or whatever you're using. But I kind
I
of get the
think it's
gist.
come on 4G at the moment.
Oof, F. He's calling in from the
F
moon.
indeed.
The goose is coming from inside the house.
Honk.
Honk. Oh dear. We've caught the we've caught the dreaded 4G signal virus.
Yeah,
But
no, the
for those
somebody's counter EMF in him. The goose is cooked.
Oh no, your
It's
goose has been cooked.
the 5G, it's scrambled these brains.
For those of you who couldn't hear Goose properly, he was saying that it's probably my answer, so that's what the cop out answer. But really, these events are about meeting the people. They're about pressing the flesh, as it were. It's very good to put faces to names, names to faces, blah blah blah, and be able to sit and talk to people. There was very few people you couldn't have a proper conversation with. There was a couple of people I wasn't quite sure about there. I mean, I don't know if I should say or not, but we had Patrick Casey there, who was quite heavily involved in Identity Europa in the US, and I think was the person who kicked Richard Spencer out of it. I don't know. I'm not that high on the deep lore, but I didn't quite know who he was, but I ended up talking to him about Glowies and National Action, which is quite funny. And he ended up agreeing with me about the British Glows before I quite knew who he was. But that was interesting. But yeah. There was a lot of stuff there. There was, I don't know, too, no, there wasn't. Too, there was probably some kind of agent there of some kind. There has to be in that kind of crowd. But it was.
Didn't have an obvious Fed this year, though. Last year, we
No.
definitely had a Guardian journalist.
Yes, there was no Fed
There
that
was
we could detect.
some. I talked to her briefly. Some short, sort of nearly bald woman, and then like her 40. Yeah, a short-haired woman.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
She seemed all right when I talked to her briefly, so.
I talked to her quite at length at one point, and she seems to have the same energy that Matt does. So,
Ah, right. One of these, the gays don't want me anymore, folk.
basically, yeah, she's somebody who's seen a lot of the stuff around her degrade quite heavily. So she had a decent story for being there, and also she didn't seem to fit in anyway. You know what I mean? So
Yeah.
it would seem like an odd thing. No, she was good. She seemed to enjoy herself. There was quite a good mix of people there, though. It was largely kind of the male 20 to 35 crowd. You know, it did look like we're about to go and see the Minions, in some
Apart from the
ways.
people in t-shirts. There was
Yes,
a
no,
couple
but
of.
I think the people were better dressed this year than last year, and that might have just been because Cringewalker wasn't there to bring the entire aggregate down by several levels.
We had Zaleski, though.
Oh no, we did. Well, no,
Yeah, we had Zelensky.
he was only Zelensky on the Friday though.
And the Sunday, I swear. Yeah,
Ah.
Sunday as well.
Ah, right, okay. I'll ask you then, Budding Squaw, because you seem to have slightly better signal. But
Yeah, right.
what was your highlight of the Shieldings weekend?
Well, it definitely wasn't getting the Lurgy afterwards, as a few of us have found out.
Oh, have you got the Shieldings
We
coof?
will. Well, I'm on the tail end of it now. That's not so bad, but
I think they
the
call
Witan
that.
whooping
I
cough.
was going to say the Wetan variant.
Yeah.
It's very normal con flu, I think.
Maybe being slightly biased, but the biggest standout was Rupert's speech. Definitely not because of me having background involvement in it, but yeah, that was the biggest standout. In terms of
Well,
how well the content fitted the brief, I suppose. It
yes.
was just it was
Well, I.
brutal Carl following him after, though, but that
Well,
aside.
no,
Come to light afterwards, though, a lot of people have been spying the attack on indigenous people within Europe.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, no,
There's been.
I was going to say in regards to Rupert August's speech, and this is something that I think too. I talked to Radlib and other few people about. There was a lot more, like not necessarily the similar approach to the same ideas, but there was a lot more sort of reference, I think, between individual talks. I mean, I think the book this year will actually be very interesting as a standalone item to read from one end to another.
I'm cheating because I'm rewriting parts of mine because they link in without me knowing. So I thought I'd make them explicitly link in. When I kept hearing the speeches, I was like, oh God, everyone's going to think I wrote this in like 5 minutes afterwards
Well, no,
because there's so much good stuff.
Rupert August was almost an answer to Padma Hatt's speech last year. You know,
Yes.
essentially crying for some kind of mythos and almost kind of authentic but slightly more esoteric history you can lay
I don't
into.
know if he did or not, but it also felt like it had bits of my speech from last year in.
And no, I
Not
think
in
it was the
explicit,
best natural
yeah.
follow-on, wasn't it? It seemed to be the most fitting for a progression of what this
Yes,
event
because
was compared to last year.
I've been trying to write something called Towards a Myth of Modern Britain, without success, really, to be honest with you. It's a big subject, and I moved on to what is the subject of my essay in the book this year, which is kind of the more of an elucidation of my man in the pub politics stuff from last year about the ground level praxis of more implicit action kind of stuff, which is again another difficult subject to write about without it getting too Fed posty, to be honest with you. But it's
I do
you'll
think
see what you
everyone was a bit afraid to lie into the praxis side of things, which is somewhat understandable.
Oh, see, I think in retrospect, I basically cheated because I talked about the two of them, but just called it one of them. But that's what you get to do when you write propaganda. So,
Yes. I honestly, it's going to be interesting because, like I said, the essay I've written is going to fit in quite well because it's very, very praxis focused. But you're right, it's a hard one to write around with the way it's done. But I felt bad for Rupert. I had to leave. I missed about half a speech because I had horrendous heartburn and I had to go like chug some
oh,
Gaviscon. So I'm looking forward to reading the essay of that. I sat there as long as I could, but I just sat there suffering for like the first half hour of that. So I had to quickly run back to the cloakroom, pick up our bags and chug some Gaviscon after our rather hearty meals that weekend.
no,
What's
so
happening
I'm
to the videos of all these speeches?
there's a DVD I believe you can buy. I don't know. I would kind of also like possibly.
No, I don't know if there is a DVD or not. I might have imagined that one.
Well, what are they also? I mean, am I going to get a copy of my speech, or can I at least get like the audio or something?
I got linked last year a kind of a private upload of mine, but I didn't want to use it because the recording wasn't the best, to be honest.
Fair enough. No, if the audio of mine's all right, I might add it to because I. Yeah, no, I think I might put mine up at some point as a paid thing on the Substack as a little experiment, and I'll add the audio one as well as a sort of extra bonus for people that do actually go for it. Shall we start maybe going in depth with some of the more talks on the weekend? Because there was, of course, the headline
Well,
act on
we've not really talked about the theme of the event yet, which we probably should do before we go into that, before
That's
anything.
true.
The theme of this year's event was Logos versus Praxis, which I get where they're coming from with that, but it also sounds a bit dense and gay. Dense and gay. Also, I always read Logos as Logos in my head, which I think most people would do. It's yeah,
Yeah, I was very confused about that at the
it's Sneed themed, as the chat says.
start.
Yeah, share the demon black market shieldings DVDs. Thank you, Narco Republican. But it was Logos versus Praxis, which is basically theory versus action. But I think theory versus action, one, doesn't sound as big brained, and two, people writing speeches explicitly about the dissident right taking action in I mean, I've done it, but it's a bit of a you are skirting the edges there. So I think Logos versus Praxis, it gives it more of that intellectual academic edge, let's
Well,
say.
I think that is the crowd at the end of the day as well. I mean, it's not necessarily that we are all adverse to being in the real world. I think we prove that by the fact that we go to these things, and then on our behalf, we also then go and host more of them so more people can be there. So there's definitely an appetite for it. And I think there is a lot to be said just for, you know, getting in a room often enough and just hashing it out when it comes to ideas and things we think are important. You know, it's how we understand the world around us.
I think Maven's talking to you there in the chat, no pipe bombs.
Me? What would you look at me for? I've done nothing wrong.
The Uncle Ted enthusiast.
I will just say, Dank is a mad lad for doing a mad lads on him.
Oh, I will say, I won't be able to answer everything in the chat. Yet. I won't be able to answer everything in the chat, but we are still fully monetized somehow. So if you guys do want to donate to us, the best way to do it is through Streamlabs. That's where the least cut gets taken, but we do also have Super Chats available, and we also have channel memberships if you want to support us on a recurring basis. But that is the best way to get your questions answered and your comments seen, because it is a busier stream this week, and I'm not going to be able to answer everything in the chat. One more question I've seen there that I do want to say is that, were there a lot of women at the event? No, the answer to that is no. There was a few. It wasn't a complete sausage fest, but
usually wives.
Yes,
I think as Alexander Adams pointed out, there was more Alexes than women, and I don't think it made a difference whether or not you counted me in the total.
No, you weren't like the tiebreaker. It was a very male heavy event. Academics, AAs has too many women. I will chill though, since there are people here. Our Nomos events, since we actually do have a slightly better gender breakdown when it comes to those events. I was shocked by the amount of women who were at the Manchester event and again at the Birmingham event. Although I think the Manchester event had the most generous ratio. It was pretty much like a third of people there.
I think we almost had double digits.
Well, we did have double digits. It was nearly a third of the people there. We nearly had like 20 of them. It was insane. But yeah, if you guys missed the Shieldings event and you want to join some of the Distant Right in person, we'll be hosting an event on the 29th of October in London. Tickets are only £40. That does not include accommodation, of course, but it will be very close to St. Paul's, central London. And we'll be revealing more details of that as the month goes on. But I think tomorrow I'll be sending out the links to people who signed up the mailing list for. We have a Discord and a Telegram for it if people want to join those.
Those are handy, because when I spoke to some people at the WITAN about our event, they were like, oh, well, it's great, but just staying in London's expensive. And I was like, well, just do what the London Weavers did when they come up to Birmingham. Just get a big Airbnb for all years, organise it either in, you know, the basket weaving chat in London, or we've, you know, even if you don't like Discord, we have a Telegram, so there should be spaces for everyone to club together and organise stuff. I mean, we get it. This stuff's,
expensive.
Yeah, it's not the cheapest thing in the world to do, and nor are things otherwise cheap at the moment, but this is why I think Maven and the team over at Shieldings greatly appreciate those who are just happy to show up and be there in the first place. It's what makes these things possible.
For those of you who want to know what it's about, we have recaps on the website I posted. We did one in Manchester, one in Birmingham, and we've got one in London now. So we're slowly descending down the UK. We'll have to figure out something to stop us ending up in France. But
go west into Cardiff.
Oh, yeah. Goy Benu, I can never say his name, has another suggestion. The tube does run all night, and you can stay, as we've done previously, on the outskirts of London. Anywhere that has tube or night bus or overground links is viable for staying in London and going to stuff in central London.
So. Harry G-Man in the chat does have the right opinion, though. Come to my specific town to make it easier for me personally. That's the attitude, winning spirit.
Yeah. There's a lot of people who had that attitude when we were in Birmingham as well. but I do digress, right? We should probably get into some of the talks before I get too long-winded.
Yes, well, I had got the image up before, but I believe the opening talk of the event after both Maven and Reen had given their little sort of introduction was academic agents on his notion that he calls the octopus.
Yes, we've got a little diagram there as well for in one of the other images. But
there we go.
Just if you, yeah, we've got an. I lined his text up with the wall there, and I'm quite proud of that because it took me longer than it should have done. But what did our panelists think of AA's speech then?
I thought it was pretty good, to be honest. I mean, that sounds like a cop out, but the big focus on BlackRock and what was the other one he said, Vanguard.
Yes.
I'm not sure how we can go about navigating that as a response to what he was saying. What can we do about it?
It's a lot of it, I think, was just more making people aware of how, you know, what areas make up the power center and where power flows from and to, so that people don't get the wrong idea of who's in charge. I think it's a little, it was a little bit of a nod towards people not falling for the whole, you know, the activists in the media are in charge.
Well,
which I think I mentioned it to a few people as well, and a lot of them sort of agreed that it was not necessarily to claim that we're the only people that have said it, because I think there are a number of people pointed out the fact that all these activist groups, trans rights and some of the abortion stuff and these slightly more ridiculous sort of social activist groups are complete distractions. And that if you spend all your time fighting them, which you could very easily do, and you maybe could even get rid of them, the system
make money by spending their time just constantly talking about them.
Oh yeah, or you can do that instead, of course.
We're not referencing anyone in particular, it's okay.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
That's people making those assumptions, not me.
What did you think of it then? But I refer to you as Budding Squaw, since it's a fun thing to say. It's a fun name.
Yeah, I had my own contentions with it from just some batshit schizo perspective, but in a relatively nice, mundane world, it's a brilliant model. I really like it. It's definitely a lot better than better fleshed out than Yavin's anyway.
See, that now you've said it, though, I'm going to push you on. What are your batshit schizo criticisms, so to speak?
Italian bread pancake shop malarkey. I'll just say pizza cake.
All right. Well, I think you'll find if you look at what the people who work for Deutsche Bank that ended up dead last year were involved in, you might find that what he's pointing at here in the chest and many other things, the network might also include other networks.
I think he could have done with a thin box on top, because there are certain people within each of these organizations that make up a very, very elite strata of people, who very much have their hands in a lot of the most important levers. And it's not conspiratorial to say that. These people all know each other, they all meet each other. They are part of a class of people. And I think he talks about it a lot in his other stuff on his channel, and a lot of other people talk about it too. Pete Q talks about it. You know, a lot of the people who are serious about this talk about it. But the elite class people, the actual governing elite people, have their hand in all of these organizations. Some, you know, the higher up you go, the more members of the ruling elite you get, which is a very important point, and that's why this model works. But I did enjoy his speech about the octopus. It was quite informative, and I also enjoyed the running thread of insistence that he started throughout the weekend that they're going to put the woke genie back in the bottle. Because again, not to toot our own horn, that's something we've been saying pretty much since we started this channel.
Well, no, I think I joked to you the other day. Me and you basically used to talk about that in Rose's channel, like well over like a year ago.
We did. We were like John the Baptist in the wilderness, shouting about the fact that it was a giant red flag distraction. But go on, Mr. Squall.
Yeah, no, actually, I noticed it in the paper headlines this week. As I've been out and about, I've actually seen, oh shit, they're reading back the woke stuff. Tuesday morning, The Met police are being told to sort out the woke shit quite explicitly in the headline. But okay, here we go.
Blair even talk about it a few months back.
Would he?
Yeah.
I remember he and his speech specifically had the headline from Blair telling Starmer to drop the woke stuff.
Yes, yeah.
I will say one thing I thought was the fact that they sort of related to the point you were saying earlier on, to try and draw boxes around these things sort of ignores the fact that I think a lot of them are almost inseparable. Like
I was.
your networks and your NGOs, at what
When all
point?
the red, well, he used blue lines, but when all the blue lines disappeared, I was almost disappointed. I
Hmm.
was hoping this would be slightly more skits, but making it like this unskits, but also workable was quite impressive. So I was quite glad about that actually. But no, my inner schizo wanted more red lines. I wanted
I
AA
mean
to like sweat and scream and talk about lizard people,
the
but.
higher like autistic level would be have to have box in each box that indicates the elites within that box that like then contract out to the other box as a whole and stuff like
I don't
that.
know, if A just stood up there for like 45 minutes and named names, I don't think he'd make it the weekend. Anyone else get any more comments on AA's speech before we move on? Oop, I'll take that as a no then. After that, there was the poetry panel, which we can leave the image up because that's also got Alexander Adams and Panama Hat on it. Although I think Mr. Panama Hat we have censored slightly, since no offense to Gas, and it's difficult doing stuff on 35 mil, but poor Alexander Adams, there was no he had his eyes half shot in a lot of the photos, unfortunately. But we can go through some of those if Yasin does arrive.
He's in the
Yes, he's in the pub. Is what he
chat.
is.
Oh yeah, I forgot that.
JD with the £2 donation saying, did anyone cope see the mold at all this year? There was a little bit of that. There was a bit of seething from a rather inebriated American gentleman who I'm still not quite sure who he was. But there's Panama hats in the
Maybe
chat as well.
something to do with the American event, I believe.
Well, like that again, I don't want to publicly badmouth people because he might have just not been able to handle his booze. And people do get weird when they're drunk. But there was a definite lack of coping, seething, and moulding this year, I will definitely say. Maybe a little bit from the let's say the remnants of the we just need to get the feminists out of the video games camp. But there's less and less of those, like every month, basically. They all have kind of disappeared back into the woodwork, as their worldview has crumbled before them in the face of the lockdowns and the subsequent events. So most people were very much on message, which was good, and the speeches were definitely on message. Most, if not all, of them. So there was a very good synchronicity there. We definitely have an internal culture. And it does seem to be in some ways instilled and to some degree enforced. So that's very encouraging in my view. Hopefully that answers your question. We also have another donation, sorry, here from Cowboy Curtis. $20 donation. Thank you, Cowboy Curtis, saying, I really enjoyed listening to your streams on China's Belt and Road and BlackRock, but I wasn't there live. So consider this my tip for those. Well, thank you, Mr. Cowboy Curtis. That's a decent sized. Oh, God, that sounds terrible. I'm not going to finish that sentence.
Yeah, please don't.
that's a decent size super chat, so thank you.
No, there was a poetry panel though, which I think, to be honest, was a bit hit and miss. I sort of get what they're going for, and I think it's I commend the fact that they did it because it's one of those things that just, I mean, I tried my best not to roll my eyes because it's like it's not because the poetry panel was cringe. It's because I'm a horrendous modern like brained person and cannot wrap my head around what I should be getting out of poetry or literature or fiction
For
writing.
some reason, the Discord's not showing up on the left in the stream right now.
Yes, I think that's because I need to go back through and connect the channel thing to it,
Oh,
but
okay. That's not urgent. I'm just letting you know. I thought it might have just gone screwy because everything else seems to come screwy
No,
today in the
I
bathroom.
noticed
But
that earlier as well. I just didn't mention it. No, one thing I will say is I think Hat had mentioned that he will be doing a sort of poetry anthology towards, or not editing, or I think, yeah, sorry, he's editing an anthology of poetry, which he sees as like a sort of collection that you should read. So I think I might have a
Oh,
crack at
didn't he
that.
say he was covering the canon?
Yes, he is. He's kind of covering a whistle stop tour of kind of the British canon of poetry, which I think is a great start, and I look forward to getting that when that's available. What I don't know, what do you guys think of the poetry panel? Because that is really not my wheelhouse at all. But I know poetry really sets like 10 to 15% of the people there on fire who seem to really enjoy it, so
I find with poetry, there's a lot more people producing poetry than can absorb it. The supply vastly outshadows the demand.
And the quality of modern poetry, as was mentioned in the panel, is generally incredibly
Yeah.
low. So.
Well, I think Adams talks about it in his book quite a bit about how they don't even forward decent poetry. They just forward poetry by, well, of course, the holy cows.
It is very identitarian based, yes. Very regime signifier based with who's put forward these days. And the arts is an area that matters to it matters to the like a lot of the class of people who are just below the ruling elite, kind of the people who want to see themselves as establishment and cultured and the tastemakers. So it is an area that
Yeah.
should be fought on, but it's more kind of like arts and media in general. I just think we have a bit of a surplus of poets in this movement. But if that's your speciality and that's the area you want to fight on, as I tried to talk to people about last year and this year, there's no wrong answer. If you've got a niche you want to fight in that niche, and if that's the ground that you know and if that's the battlefield that you're most best equipped to deal with, go for it. Because the left, the establishment, the managerialists, whatever you want to call them, they fight on all fronts all the time. So there really is no wrong answer to where you want to spend your energies if you think that can be productive.
Well, that almost sounds like a fantastic segue into my speech.
Well, we can do your speech when it comes up in the order.
I'm just trying to work out which one's next, actually, because I'm not sure. Ah, right.
Yeah, there was the Dan Tub. Not
Oh,
really much to say about that, I'm afraid.
I don't have images for those, but we can go back to the thing then. Cool.
Oh, I'll
Yeah,
interject
I
with an
did.
actual pro poetry stance. I
Oh, go ahead.
appreciated the panel being there. I've been warming up to it, but I think we need to. There's a lot of theatre poetry being made, a lot of poetry in general, but we need to do the same thing with that as we're doing in general, which is condensing it into a high quality institutions that were, which I guess, I mean, having those five guys on the panel kind of leads to it. A lot of like pretty good low key entertainment in that panel as well, but
It was a pretty good panel.
I definitely find there's a big barrier to entry for poetry. It's it's like trying to understand well, certain works of classical music coming from a modern lens. You're just not gonna.
So that kind of was stuck in mind, but then I asked Mr. Adams about this as well. I remember the works of Samuel Coleridge back in the Georgian times, and he's basically writing pleb poetry and is being very well loved, and it kind of linked back into what Sagan ends up talking about. And that didn't explicitly state it, but there is essentially a need for not only just a typical like high culture art circuit, but also a folk centered ones, like folk songs and pleb poetry basically. So you gotta do stuff that speaks to both the upper echelons and the lowest rungs, because you've I don't know, peasants. Lacking
I,
nice attention, but you kind of get what I mean, yeah.
yeah, you need to have media for all audiences, or you need to have art for all audiences. And yeah, I agree with you
Well,
that
Grugs and Chads, don't worry about the midwits.
Well, still, it's I appreciate the point,
You've
but we'll try
got to
and we'll.
speak to the man of race, wherever he may be.
We'll try and keep this. I don't want to talk at length about every speech, really. We'll try and keep it a bit more whistle stop tour here. And like I said, when we get to Alexander Adams, we'll put the poetry panel image up, because I couldn't, none of the images turned out that great, which is the curse of 35mm, I suppose. But there was Dan Tubb, Death of Money, honestly didn't like that speech. I'm just gonna go out and say it, that was a bad speech.
Yeah, no, I think if you're a complete illiterate when it comes to economics, there was probably a lot of stuff in that you'd have been, wow, thanks for breaking that down for me. But like, I mean, no offense to him, but subjects about, you know, fractional reserve banking, artificial credit expansions in the business cycle, which he didn't even really fully go into in theory, which I think would have even been a nice thing just to show, like, well, here's the literature as well. So I think that's an important part of it as well sometimes. And then
I also, yeah, there was also a bit of an angle of finance manager crypto bro to it, which is very 2019 at this point. And that I understand that that's his point of view, but it does, with the way that things are going, it did kind of rub me the wrong way that some of it was not good advice to people.
No, possibly not. But also just the crowd. I mean, the people in that crowd, for the vast majority of them, are maybe not all economists by any means.
Yeah.
But I think probably about a good third, maybe nearly even a half of them, are familiar at least with Austrian economics enough to have a basic understanding of what's going on.
Yes, it wasn't a bad speech, but a lot of the conclusions I feel were not appropriate for 2022. They are something that people were told and kind of eased into back in like 2017, 2018. If you watch kind of the economics era of AA, I felt like I'd entered a time machine and was, you know, it's fair enough. It's not 2015 content, but it is 2018 content. And as good as it may be, maybe some people in the audience thought it was great because they weren't acquainted with that stuff. But for me, it was a little bit, it had some of the bad conclusions that the people who've worked in finance have, and I don't trust city people. I'm sorry. Well, yeah, anyone who's worked in the city is generally not capable of being your friend.
Well, no, that's, I mean, because they all think it's, I mean, he's gone and said that the chat was going to say something. I was going to say it's the policy people, it's the folk at this investment bank or that investment bank, but that's really not where they place their anger. He sort of seemed to place all his issues not with something like BlackRock or these massive funds that we've talked about, and he talked about in his speech. Instead, he pointed at the central banks and politicians. And I think we are long past, especially the vast majority of us now, are sort of seen, have looked past individual politicians as even really a factor in the whole equation. They are merely just a lubricant with which the system fucks you.
Yeah, it's focusing too much on like raw capital and actual numbers rather than like who knows who and what they can do with it.
Well, that's the thing about BlackRock. Once you know who Larry Fink is, you know who his friends are, you know what jobs he was given by the people who he's still friendly with now, and the positions of power those people have. It's like, well, you know, the whole public-private sort of distinction becomes completely useless. You're much better looking at it as sort of loose factions of people that seem to have roughly connecting agendas. And
AA who was saying about how BlackRock still had control within the American government even during Trump's presidency?
It was the fact that the people that were going to be Fink's picks ended up just being there anyway, whether or not Trump got in.
It was the basic thing was it had become an old Fink shortlist. Trump entered office. But yeah, there was some stuff in there. I don't want to harp on too much because it was actually quite well presented. But I don't think it came to the right conclusions in many areas. But I'll move on.
Alexander Adams's.
So, before I move on, do any of our guests have anything else to say about that speech? Or?
I don't know.
Well, he gave a little bit of sensible advice at the end about diversifying assets, but that's about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's just sensible.
The next speech, though, and again, we'll leave the poetry panel up because he's in the centre there, was from Mr. Alexander Adams, which was Reactionary Praxis, Inventing Tradition, which I always enjoy Alexander Adams' speeches. I will say he did speak at our Nomos event in Birmingham. I consider him, a kind of a friend of the channel and a friend of Nomos and a friend of ours. But he's somebody who's very good at speaking. He links his points together well. I always enjoy when he speaks, and this was no exception. So,
no, I mean, Alexander Adams is one of those people where it's, again, when it comes a bit to the poetry stuff when he talks about art and sort of the inside art kind of aspect of it. You just kind of like listen because it's like, well, I don't really know how this works. I suppose he's probably got some useful things to say. I don't like his whole thing about essentially suggesting to someone at a speech where he was discussing how to be an artist, and the person said, "Well, how can I be a full-time artist?" They basically told them, "You don't. You
Yeah.
shouldn't be one." I think
If
as
you're
well.
asking that question.
Yeah, no, exactly. Before it disappears as well, I'll read a chat from Fez, who was also at the event. Great to see you all at the Witan. Looking forward to Nomos London, as are we. Hope you can join us for the Cathedral Club in Soho on Saturday, November 26.
Our, that is on the list of things to show at the end. We were going to show that, but yes, there is an event semi-regular in London called the Cathedral. I think we've sent that out on our mailing list before, but we went to one of those evenings. It was very good. We enjoyed it immensely. Me, you, Jess, and Panama Hat were there, so that was a quite
Yes.
a nice, quite a raucous evening. but the Panama Hat speech, he's sorry, it's not Panama Hat speech, Alexander Adams speech, Brain. He's building up, I think, an idea of through a lot of his work, a new British canon. And a new British tradition, a new British tradition of not only art but culture and aesthetic, which I think is, when it comes to poetry stuff, it didn't engage me as much. But the idea of a kind of a British canon, a new British canon, a new British tradition, really does excite me, and I like that idea. I like that as a ground to fight on, and that's much more fertile
I
to
would
me
like to
than
see
just poetry.
him. Maybe it's something he'll be working on in the future, but sort of integrate his other analysis of art and culture related around art with something more like Spengler or, Evola, and go really into the elitist and sort of vanguardist aspects to it. Because I think within that is probably where you would find really motivating sort of speeches and texts and an artwork that would inspire people to then go and produce more, because it's, I don't know, in some sort of way it's a more synthesized and pure thing when you're approaching it from a more elitist perspective.
It's like another format for Logos itself, isn't it? And if you've got a really, really good painting, then that in itself can inspire, I guess, an entire speech.
We run out of our bucket of art commentary then. It was obviously a very shallow one.
Well, his speech followed nicely from the last Nomos one. He was basically on about setting up a separate art circuit.
Yeah, he was talking about salon culture there. I do like the fact as well that as I said before, not only at the events themselves, but across the events, as people are involved in different ones, there is almost like a sort of canon you could begin to follow of like, oh, these ideas from this talk at this event build onto the next one and so on and so forth. I mean, I think I've done that with some of my stuff without even really meaning it, I don't quite think. It's just how it's ended up. I suppose that's what you get when you sort of deal with and develop through ideas kind of one at a time. You will take the best bits from the stuff you've read before and take it forward into the stuff that you're engaging with now and seeing what does and doesn't fit.
I was going to say something there, but I had a big sneeze. Apologies for the dead air while I had a
Bless you.
horrendous sneezing fit. it's important. Like I said, it's important stuff. I don't really have a lot to say about it because honestly, go and read the essay if you buy the book. It was a very complete speech. I always find that he elucidates his points very well. They're quite self-contained. You're right. I would like to see more of the hard-edged theory stuff brought into it, but that might be something for in future, and it also might be something that slightly, I guess, limits the audience a bit. I know that Alexander Adams has been doing the rounds lately in some of the media stuff, which has been interesting to see. And hopefully, he doesn't. Again, I don't want to get into the Curtis Yarvin bashing, but there was some anxiety before he came to the event about, who he was now because of his stuff in Tablet magazine, and we mentioned him being like used in Newsweek, weirdly enough. But I think that's people speaking for him rather than him himself. Because spoiler alert, there was really no drama, and it was great to see him. He got a lot of fun. He got very drunk on one of the panels, as we'll get into later, and started shouting about Mark Zuckerberg being a bottom, which was
I think
great.
you find that didn't happen.
Okay, that didn't. Yeah, hypothetically, in the fever dream,
Yes,
you
no,
may or may not
if
have done that,
Moldbug
so.
had drank several glasses of red wine with dinner and had done certain salutes, that would have been really funny, but sadly, that didn't happen, much to
That
my
didn't happen,
dismay.
yeah. Yeah, that it didn't happen.
We are all,
It's
of
been
course, here friends of the State of Israel, so there's
Yes,
nothing
of
to be worried
course.
about, and you should
My
take our.
favorite nation.
Yeah, exactly. Favorite people, chosen ones, so on and so forth. I think I'll go back to this one because the hat's in this one too. His speech again was a great addition to his speech last year. I like the fact as well that he then went to do not only reference his previous one, but then do a review of his speech from Nomos, then sort of cut it short so he could just leave like an open like 30 minutes for questions.
Yeah, that's good.
I think it was as Said E. Kutub or something. And I don't know, I just really like the story
Yes.
because it is that typical sort of one Sperg sits at a desk for years and years writing an incredibly specific and hardcore political theory book based on some sort of canon that no one is expected to read. And then before you know it, 20, 30 years later, it becomes like revolutionary material.
Yeah. Sure think it's the sorry we have we moved on to the next speech now, or I'm trying to
Yes,
figure out where
talking
we
about
are.
Panama
yeah
hats
yeah
now.
we
Yeah,
talking about Panama Hat speech there. Oh, brain, sorry. It was a very good speech because it kind of forms a partnership with some of the other stuff, like you talked about the Rupert August speech near the end. And his was very much about kind of a bit more praxis based, and there was a bit of an interplay there again with the essay that I've written, which is kind of mind without a body, body without a mind stuff. It's you can't have one without the other, and you have to have praxis to have logos. Sorry, you have to have logos to have praxis, but your logos doesn't mean anything without praxis, and I think that was a very good elucidation
Well, yeah,
of that.
there was a great thing in one of the Hoppe essays I read through in stream at one point where he goes in the difference between handwork and mundwork, and he's talking about that you need the physical experience of dealing with something before you can engage in the mental sort of technique of measuring it or analyzing it. It must first exist in your hands in a way that you can observe and manipulate it. It's similar to that kind of concept.
Okay. Now we I, it, again it's I don't know, I don't want to detail too many people. But you've got the what is it, the kind of heavily censored, slightly blurry picture there, and that's where the best we can show. I know a lot of people are very uncomfortable about themselves being online in general. In fact, it might be best if we, I don't know, I'm getting a couple of not to we have tried to censor these, but I also don't want to make people uncomfortable with them. That's why I friended out the other one quite heavily. So there is an air of very insider stuff with these events, which I think that Panama Hat's speech took advantage of, because he is somebody who's speaking to an audience who is already inculcated. He's not speaking to the thin end of the wedge.
No.
It very much falls on from things we've heard in previous years and previous streams. It's not first principle stuff, but I thought it was a very, very good speech. I always love Panama Hat's speecher, speaker.
He's a
He's
real
a
good
very good speecher.
speecher.
He's a real good speecher, guys. I'll throw him to our panel though, since I'm rambling now. What do you guys think of Panama Hat's speech, if you can remember from the blur of the weekend? No goose. There's no Brevik in there. It seems no one has any opinions though. I don't know if we've lost our 4G though.
Yeah, all right. I'll ask over Goose might help chocolate every slightly more. Yeah, it was that was the one speech of the event that I thought best to find the Logos side of it. And my main takeaway from that was you have to live your ideas first, and then once you're living them, it becomes much, much easier to propagate them, and people give them more credit for doing so. But yeah, as you said, it was more like a bit more inside. It's more down the river kind of speech, which, well, straight this weekend I thought was in keeping with timings, actually, whereas some stuff had been a bit behind. But yeah.
Well, that is the purpose of doing what we're doing, was to have that group of people who, you know, constantly return to these things with something to offer every time. And that,
yeah, I'd like to think there's like a snowballing effect.
Well, we've got your speech next, Evelyn. I want to get through these at quite a pace. I also want to just generally shit talk about the cigars and the whiskey. And I know Goose was very generous with his whiskey. Thank you again for getting us rather drunk during a speech that didn't happen. During an event that completely just didn't happen. That was rather good. But yeah, we've got your speech, and I think some of the pictures of you turned out quite nice as well. So I actually put two of them together there, because there's one of you in profile, which is a portrait, which is quite good, but it doesn't fit on the screen very well. So I thought I'd combine the two of them. But don't worry, guys. I know there's a couple of nervous people. We've only got pictures of speakers from here on in. And yeah, like I said, any pictures we're using that include attendees, we have tried to censor.
Well, I did. So they're not personally identifiable. There's some people sort of saying, ooh, about it in a chat I've noticed. I think most of the people who are in the ones I have shown are people who are either very out with their face on the internet already, or I did somewhat ask, because the group picture I showed with the black bars, most of those folk are in a group where I basically said I was going to use this picture anyway, and I had no major objections, so I understand the hesitancy, though, but I should let you go.
Yeah, yeah, it's, well, like I said, we did try to censor them, and I did try, the group shot we had with me and Evelyn, I did try and censor, so there was no recognisable facial features. That's what the frenning, I think, is a good way going forward of censoring photos. But yeah, it does give the picture, yeah, the appearance of Wild West Mexican bowler hats. That's pretty funny. It is a bit outlaw, but I guess it's a slightly outlaw.
It does make the physiognomy check a bit difficult, though.
Well, that's what you're after, so that people can't see quite who everybody is. I mean, I can only recognize people because I know their faces. That's kind of how these things work.
Yeah. Well, I enjoyed your speech, but I'm biased, so. Do you want to quickly give people a Cliff Notes version of what you talked about? Very, very brief.
I sort of made a brief wander into the connection between power and public perception, and how the two sort of go hand in hand to the point where it's almost very difficult to disaggregate them from one another. And then went on to show how these things come into the real world in terms of the things that our elites use to organize us around, essentially. Something yes, like your COVID policy allows the elites to organize people around those who are, shall we say, compliant, and those who aren't, and they can do as they please with that metric. And then I went on to further show how organizing itself can become what Ilul goes on to describe as propaganda. And both, I made sure to make emphasis on both the physical and the physical and psychological components of propaganda. So I think when someone had asked one of the questions at one point about, you know, well, what medium for propaganda is the best towards the end, and I sort of suggested that the media doesn't matter as long as it makes people act towards the end that you want them to, and that end might actually be inaction in and of itself. And I think,
yes, it's,
I mean, I suppose I kind of had a number of people,
but I missed that part.
Yeah. No, I think I had a number of people who sort of said to me, sort of either during the Q&A or afterwards, that it was very informative. And I think I somewhat take that as a sign as a fact that they had a lot to possibly take in. And I might have.
There was a lot to process. It was a very dense speech, as
however, I did also have people sort of, when I was messaging in other places the other day, so it was one of the ones they sat and talked for basically all evening after, so I thought, do you know what, that's exactly what I'm after.
What's that one question you got, the guy asked whether it was moral?
Oh, no, yeah, he did ask, is propaganda ethical, and I sort of did to just turn around and say, I want to win.
That was, yeah, there was the hand-wringing question of, can we really, you know, can we really do propaganda, guys? Is it really, should we really be doing this? Mm. And that was referenced, I think,
I will
three times
also,
in
yeah.
Yarvin's speech.
I will also
There's
get this image up, which is one
Oh,
of the
that's a great
pieces I
image.
used in the speech, and I'm very glad that this got the laugh I was after, because I took quite a while to make it.
Tom Hadler in chat. There's always a small contingent of people who are surprised that, yes, that picture is actually you with the Pinochet hat. The Pinochet hat, it obviously is photoshopped on, although there is a picture of you with one at Mises, I believe. But yeah,
Yes.
Evelyn, the Evelyn does actually look like that. I know some people are quite shocked to find out sometimes, but that is Evelyn, so that is her.
Well,
She do
no,
be tall and blonde though.
I will. I'll just ignore what you're saying, and I'll add one last maybe insight towards my speech. Was I talked about Mao and how he approached propaganda and his big emphasis on education, and not just education, but educating children. And then who came along in Britain in the 1990s and said we should all send our kids to a higher level of education?
A big
I think it was Fez actually, because I did say during the talk that I can't think of a name insidious enough for this poster, and he came up to me afterwards and did I think suggest something along the lines of things can only get better.
It's got just the derive blasting in the distance over the Chinese countryside. Things can only get better, but in like a Chinese version, with like traditional Chinese in Guing Xiao with like a kodo playing it. No, that's a Japanese instrument, but you know what I mean.
Live from the opium den.
I don't know. You've got a chance here to roast Evelyn though. So, what do you guys think of the speech? Do not hold back your criticisms if you have any. Oop. I suppose there
Giant doggy's job.
are. I'm really suffering severe brain fog from the whole weekend, but I think that was entirely alcohol related.
There was a lot of alcohol that went on. I will say we could probably take a break to talk about some of the socializing, because there was some people who stayed up all night. AA being two of them.
I had my go at that as well on the Saturday mind.
Some
Jake's
people were up
got
to like 7.
Yeah, they were. Some people had to take a nap in my room,
I wonder
because
who could have done that. Could
they
have
checked
been
out of
me.
their room and then suffered the consequences of checking out too early. But yeah, someone said too many quotes, perhaps, which I understand. But you also I always err on the side of having more than having less, just because you don't want to paraphrase someone, you actually want to use the quote.
Well, yeah, no,
And
the subject of the talk was Elul, so I wanted to use a large amount of Elul, and then I wanted to use secondary literature that very nicely complemented the themes he was talking about. I think, I don't know, maybe I just have a different approach to it than other people, but I think part of the thing you should be doing in a talk like this is maybe, showing a bit of reverence for the people who, in a certain sense, whether deliberately or not, have handed these ideas down to us so that we can go and do something with them.
Also, hello, not Swavius in the chat there. It was nice seeing you at the event too.
Indeed.
I also had a very wholesome moment with Poe and her children. They were sat at the table with us and being very, very congenial, so
But
that was very nice.
I wouldn't expect anything other than them to be the politest children in the world, to be totally honest, and I
They were
don't mean
very
that in a
good.
bad way.
It was very, very sweet. But there was a decent amount of wholesomeness all weekend, to be honest. It was just like you said, it was
Have
just
to live
nice
under
seeing.
the stairs as well.
How do you think they end
No,
up
they.
so polite?
Oh no, they're not wizards though. Fate worse than death.
The quotes were good. They were very valuable. I mean, it took until like the last quarter for the speech to pick up, but with all that context set in, it worked really well. And well, compared to a certain other speech the following day, your use of quotes was, well, it's about as good as it gets. It was easy to follow while you were talking.
That's what I like to hear.
I understand the criticism though it was quite quote heavy, but I suppose that's like a preference thing.
Yes.
And I guess that's just your style of speaking. But you, as you said in your speech, ended up as the warm-up act for Tablet
The
Magazine's
bomb,
Curtis Yarvin, I believe you called him.
yes, I did. Well, no, I think I said before that I was shite myself, but it's not every day you get to open for the man himself, whose speech I have to admit I surprisingly really enjoyed. But I think that's because
Yes.
much of it was based on the conversation I had with them after my speech about Jacques Ellul, the world wars, different types of propaganda. Propaganda basically being made nowadays in such a bizarre form that it has to keep up with people's like half a dozen different layers of irony. I also like the fact that towards the end he talked about how like what was it, one of his kids was at some summer school thing and they were talking about one of the most eventful, you know, what's the most eventful thing that's happened to you this summer, and he was saying the fact he get kicked off of Roblox for making anti-LGBTQ sentiments.
He made fun of the rainbow people and got
Because
banned from Roblox. He got oofed.
I didn't get the opportunity, but I really did want to ask him, you know, is racist Minecraft videos the new blue jeans?
I don't know. I can only imagine his shock, but that's a slightly Prison Planet point there, which is
But
funny.
Yasin is correct. The silhouette is it's a fantastic framing you've got going on there. I wonder what skilled man behind the camera could have done that.
I will say a big thank you to the organizers, to Maven and Andrew. And I will also say a big thank you to Yasin. I know, oh, who else was organizing? Because I know that I've forgotten your name. I'm sorry, the guy who was manning the Imperium Press bookstall also helped organize too.
Yeah.
There was a there are a
Oh,
few.
yeah.
Sorry?
That was it.
Oh,
Plantagenet
Plantagenet.
and Reen.
Yes. Yes. Plantagenet, Reen and Maven. And Yasin was Mr. Photo Guy. So thank you very much, you guys, for pulling this off. I know it must have been very difficult. Was this Evelyn and Scrump stream must be taken down and re-upped with static? Is that to eliminate the mentions of UO Live AA? Do you want no mentions of
No, that's, I think the issue is that we've used too many pictures, supposedly. However, I don't
We
know.
have
I was told by the person that took the pictures that I was free to use them, so
we can cover those up in post if we need to, but
yeah.
we mostly use pictures of the speakers, and we the pictures that we have use of other people we have censored. So we've also tried not to say who particular people are who don't have a public profile. Yeah, it's we have tried to just use people who have public faces, and when we've not done, we've tried to censor them. So, maybe it's AA's face, I don't know,
Well,
but
no,
like
because his
his.
is all over his Amazon book and interviews and whatnot.
I will ask people what the issue is because I can always edit this in post if I need to. We
Yes.
won't be using any more group shots, but we can remove some of this stuff if it's needed. That's not really an issue. That is available on the YouTube back end. I don't know if people can DM us or what about the issue with picture usage, but like I said, the two group shots we have used in the poetry panel and the Welsh Mafia one is basically unviewable anyway. It's like it's very blurry. But yeah, maybe it's the poetry panel one, but if it is, we can remove that in post if that's the issue. Just let us know which are the offending images because we have tried to be quite careful, but I guess people are.
Yeah,
Okay.
I'll be honest, I can't see the issue some people are taking. I would rather talk about the event stuff, but like, I mean, we're like, people are like, oh, why make journals easy? Like, what, people don't know who Curtis Yarvin is. I mean, it's not hard. People get doxxed on the internet, not because it's impossible to do and people are elite hackers, it's because it's really easy. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't engage in some form of a opsec, as it were. That's why we've used pictures from people who are either easily publicly findable or were otherwise essentially asked. So
Anyway, we'll move on to some of the content of Curtis Yarvin's speech because we'll just be using pictures, people's pictures who are speakers from now on, who are public faces. Because I think the only other image we have is a Radlib, so that shouldn't be an issue. But yeah, what did I thought it was unusually entertaining, honestly, despite it being quite off the cuff. I don't know, what do you guys think?
No, as I said there, it was kind of funny that a lot of it was based on the conversation I had with him, and he sort of just kind of went on for a ramble afterwards. But it was very an evening with Moldbug.
It was quite an evening with Moldbug. It was very an evening with Moldbug in terms of like a he needed like a brick wall behind him,
Yeah.
basically. And what is the deal with the cathedral?
Like, what is it with elves?
I appreciated him mentioning Safeway instead of Walmart or something else American. That
And
was right.
Safeway, a shop that's
Struggle tight.
been dead in the UK for like the last decade at least.
Oh God, yeah. Well, Safeway was more of a thing in the US, I suppose. But yeah, it Curtis Seinfeld. Ba-do-ba-do-do-do-do-ba-do-do-do-do-boo. I don't know why AA says Yavin was less subversive than expected. I don't know why Yavin was considered so subversive. Like he's not. Like a lot of people seem to have discovered him recently, and like I don't know what people were expecting. It's like they were angry at a dog for licking its own balls. That's just kind of how Curtis is. I did, yeah, someone mentioned, I did enjoy Alexander Adams' thing about the Wimpy. That was quite interesting.
Interesting, I think, is a word I would use too.
It was a good mood piece. I liked it. It was kind of a weird yin yang with the Safeway talk. The Safeway and Wimpy intersection there. But no, I enjoyed Curtis's speech. More again, more than I thought I would. Again, there's a lot been a lot of Moldbug bashing, but he at his best is always entertaining. He's a good speaker. He was a very personable attendee. I didn't speak to him at length because I like to observe people in the natural habitat. As
He
in
did
kind
have a
of
crowd around him for most of the weekend, I did
yeah,
notice.
I didn't want to be part of that. I didn't want a crowd. I don't know. Did any of you two have any conversations with Yarvin at all?
No, I didn't get any chance to speak to him, unfortunately.
Yeah, I had a compliment on my suit, but that was about
Suppose it's a start.
was quite chuffed with it, to be fair, yeah.
No, I did notice there were some great photos people had taken with Yarvin. There's one of Cormac where it looks like he's sitting in Cormac's lap because there's like a bizarre illusion going on.
It's kind of adorable.
Who's the bottom now, Mr. Moldbug?
But yeah, the it's I guess we can miss out the events of the panel that
Really
never
glad it didn't
happened.
happen,
Yeah, we can mention some of them here though, that like I said, hypothetically he might have he could have in another universe got a bit drunk and repeatedly shouted that Mark Zuckerberg had big bottom energy, which I thought was very funny. But there's you're right, a lot of the middle part of his speech seemed to be a response to your discussion and speech, which was interesting. It's like you really did open for an evening with Moldbug there.
I took that role seriously. I did not didn't just di disrespect the honor.
Well, there was the whole thing he talks about at the end, which is something we've alluded to. He talks about like launching the rocket, and it can only really have praxis when you can get into space,
Oh yeah,
with his analogy.
it's the one great crime.
95% of a launch.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, it's the one great crime. The crime so great it legitimizes a legal order all of its own.
But his whole thing was you didn't send a rocket 99% into space. It's, 99% of success is still failure in that case. And his idea of
I'm still trying to find the perfect place to reference Hat's line of it's like climbing halfway up the stairs.
yeah. It'd say you don't, no. He just turns to us and goes, "You don't walk halfway up the stairs," which I think was pretty good. That was rather funny. But he's right though. It is like walking halfway up the stairs and stopping at a certain point. But I was glad it was quite well received. I think a lot of people were just relieved that his speech wasn't bad, honestly, because he was
He
one of
did only
the
mention Hitler lives once.
yes.
No, I think if he knew if he'd have said anything about hobbits or elves, he'd have probably got lynched.
That was just bad timing. I think that essay was bizarre,
No,
honestly.
he must have had that in the back burner for months and months and waiting for the right time to drop it to bring loads of heel energy, as it were, into the event and then knock it out of the park with a speak that speech, sorry, that everyone seems to enjoy.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe he was. It was deliberate, like hype building. But it was good having him there. Like I said, he was a bit crowded. I tried not to have big celeb worship energy. But I did manage to at least wish him a good night at one point. So that's the extent of my interactions with Curtis Yarvin. Then something didn't happen. So we should probably, before we move on to Sunday, shall we talk about some of the social aspects? There's a lot of cigars on the go.
Of course, there's got to be. Oh, that's not the one I meant. I meant to go to. I've clicked the wrong thing now.
There we go.
No, of course, because you can't have a distant event without smoking. You've got to smoke.
Yes.
It's just it's the rule.
It's a lot of those pipes as well, don't forget those.
Yes, a lot of people have moved on from. I know you had one, Goose, but a lot of people have moved on from the cigars to the pipes.
It makes a good
See,
side.
I don't think you go from cigars to pipes. I think you get so into cigars that you're looking for something that's really a cigarette but slightly different.
It's kind of like the daily version of the cigars.
Nah, because people are saying in chat, "Will AA transition to pipes?" No, of course he won't, because he doesn't smoke.
He just pretends. It's all
Yeah.
it's like TV smoking. It's all an
I did
illusion.
not inhale.
It's part of his big heel energy. him and Yavin both.
I can't even light one.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of people ask him about the booze. The booze was a bit expensive. It wasn't the best selection. There was proper beer on tap. There was Star Perronin. We had a few of the Purity Brewery ones, which were okay. They're not the best. They're kind of mid real ale stuff. The Guinness seemed okay, but it was a bit expensive. And they did. I've never honestly seen a hotel get up like an event center get upset about people having their own booze. But we were outside and told we couldn't drink our own whiskey, which was a bit annoying. Because generally that's fine in places like that, or at least they kind of ignore it, but
No,
you ignore them.
I was going to say I'm getting called out there because he's seeing Evelyn trying and failing to do an Evelyn woe. See, I did it. I've done it a number of times. It wasn't until I realised what I was doing normally. Just like holding a cigar inside your mouth without your hand. That's all it was. I did choose the wrong cigar to do it with though, because those Gurkhas are huge. I do not
Those
have the
are
gum
very,
to
very
fit it,
big,
like in the
very
side
big
of my teeth.
cigars.
Sorry. Anyway, I'll let you go on, Goose.
Sorry, what was I saying?
I thought you were going to go on to something. I think I interrupted you.
Oh no.
You mainly talking about pipes not being they kind of complement each other, but there's just big letters of you failed.
Yeah.
That seems like Persian cope to me.
Aye.
But we shall move on. A lot of people weren't there in the morning, unfortunately, for Nathan Hood's talk. So I will give it a shout out. I enjoyed it. I thought his fracturing consent was good. I think I spoke to him. He's obviously someone who's been viewing a lot of the Distant Right content, and there's quite a lot packed in there. He talks about Wilhelm Reich. He talked about the therapeutic state. He talked about some of your stuff about the means by which consent is manufactured. It felt like a greatest hits, but in a good way.
Was there? There
He's
wasn't a
obviously.
Ted Kaye reference in there, was there? See, this is me admitting the fact that I wasn't there because I was sleeping.
I don't know. I'd have to
Was
read the
sleeping.
essay. But really, what he was talking about was the lockdowns, the pandemic, and the way that people view themselves has been slightly fractured in recent years. There isn't this cohesive image of, that they've used up a lot of energy with the just go along with it stuff, and that if you press in the right areas, you can fracture this kind of manufactured consent framework. And that was the thrust of what his idea of what the praxis from the theory could be. But he did go into, like I said, it was very good him bringing up people like Wilhelm Reich, him bringing out him being so influential in especially the West German psychological establishment. He brought up Theodore Adorno, the authoritarian personality type. It's all stuff that we've researched in the last, couple of years. But it's stuff a lot of people haven't encountered fully before, and I thought it was a very, very good overview of the therapeutic state, of kind of societal consent, and of some practical ways to think about it and work around it. I very much enjoyed Nathan Hood's speech. Don't worry, we don't have an image of you. We have tried to be careful with that, but
Well, I was saying Nathan Hood uses his face on the bloody YouTube comments. That's how I
I know
know
he
him.
does. I'm aware of that. I'm joking, but he I think he did well, and it's a shame more people weren't there. But he got the dreaded early Sunday spot that I got last year, because I was at 9 a.m. on Sunday last year, which was rather taxing, not just on the audience but on me, because I hadn't been drunk, but I was a little bit ill that weekend. I didn't. A lot of the chat's still talking about the cigar rort trip, rort trick. But I think Nathan did well for being in essentially what is the equivalent of the graveyard slot.
There was a better turnout than last year for that slot. But I
Yes,
think
there
that's because they
was.
put it at 10 rather than 9.
Some people just didn't get a bed.
Oh,
Yeah,
yeah.
well, a lot of people didn't wake up till like after lunch.
See, I
Yeah,
just got
that too.
betrayed. I had so much energy and I was like good to like well into 6 in the morning. Thought, right, I'll go in, I'll get a quick shower, pack my stuff in my case, check out, get an early breakfast. There for breakfast like 7:10. Start eating breakfast, loads of sausages and eggs, and a cup of tea, and get most of it down, man. And just like as soon as the food hit my stomach, I just started to like nearly fall asleep.
Not dead.
I only did 2 hours of sleep though, and I was up that next day to like 1 in the morning anyway.
You didn't do too
Yeah.
badly. I thought you did pretty well. Next, I have a couple of good images for this. And he does, again, we can use these because Clausen did use his face during the interview and stuff. But the Clausington speech, which I will admit I didn't quite understand a lot of it. I'd like to maybe reread it. I'm not quite sure. And a lot of the audience wasn't quite sure what was going on, to be
I
honest.
was very confused throughout all of that.
He did point a lot at the map, and it's just that image of him with like the pure soy point image. I like some of the Nick Land energy stuff. I was hoping it'd be a bit more skits in places. I don't know. I also made a meme about it in which he talks about the historic locations and personalities of the original settlers of the US, but in my conception, most of those people aren't really there anymore. The US map looks less like a, Northumberland, Scotch Irish, blah blah blah, south of England, north of England. It's more like a series of Amerimut memes. But that was my critique of the speech in terms of the content I did understand. But I would again, I had to take a phone call about half. Well, about three quarters of the way through that speech, actually, I got a bit of a phone call I had to take, but I got most of it, and I don't know, he maybe Clossington was a bit nervous because I had a good chat with him. He's a great guy, he was great to hang out with, but he kind of died a little bit on stage, and I felt sorry for him a little bit. He didn't seem the most confident.
Quite a bit.
He didn't seem the most confident in his presentation. Yeah, I had to return some videotapes. No, I got a rather pointless phone call in the end, but it was enough to distract me from the last
No,
maybe third of
I
that
did get
speech.
where he was trying to go with it. He really wanted to get into. He didn't actually like Sam Hyde 0 of 10. That is a fair point from Ren in chat there. But no, he wanted to get into the interplay between the different sort of ethnic groups that built America and then, or not necessarily built America, but built all their different sort of communities in America and then were sort of. I think part of the crux he was trying to suggest is almost like in the Juvenalian way that they were kind of all forced then make compromises with one another and ever sort of grander scales till you get to the point where they're all of a sudden there's just this federal government thing.
He didn't get round to his conclusion at all. He had to cut it short, which kind of screwed up the flow of it a bit.
Yeah, it was a little bit long-winded, and it did get near time, and I wasn't quite sure how he was going to end it. I didn't miss the end of the speech. It ran long, yeah. But the concept was interesting, and I wish I'd been able to hear a slightly more cohesive version of it. I'd look forward to an essay version of it in the book that might answer some of my questions. But I kind of understand what he was getting at in terms of like the ancestral energy of the US. But I'm not quite sure how that linked into Logos versus Praxis in the end. Maybe that was, oh yeah, maybe it all came around in the conclusion. But like you said, we didn't really get to hear that properly. So it was a bit of an incomplete one.
I managed to get onto it, annoyingly. You had to cut it like 20 minutes of the speech short.
F's in the chat for Clossington.
Yeah, big F. But his explanation of the exit mechanism was quite interesting. So it's not really something I consider so much here in the UK, I guess partly because of how the housing market now works. But other than seeing, I guess, mainly Londoners this past couple of years exiting London and going elsewhere in the country, that's the only other time I've seen it occur. But his explanation in the US that, well, essentially suburbs become these safe havens that ends up allowing this kind of balanced ecosystem to exist around cities was really quite interesting. Again, it would have been nice if he'd been able to expand it.
The city structure of the US is completely different to here. It's very odd.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. But that's mostly a product of like mid to late 20th century zoning laws. It also allows the hives of scum and villainy to exist, really. I would say a counterpoint to what he said about that was it acts as like a press release valve, when it keeps the show going when it really shouldn't anymore.
Yeah. They didn't quite get onto the whole white flight involving suspicious buses.
That, and I think he did use the term swarthy a number of times, though.
He did. There was a lot of use of the word swarthy. But after lunch, we had Radical Liberation, which was... I don't want to shit on you at all, Evelyn, but honestly, for me, that was probably the best speech of the weekend. Mostly because I'd read your speech before, but I've really enjoyed Radical Liberation's Vanguard of Christendom. Because it filled a void, and it's something I've been hoping someone more skilled than me would write for many years, really. And it was excellent, I will say. It was very outwardly Christian without being off-putting, because I find there's a lot of people who don't know how to make that work for a non-Christian or at least non-denominational audience. His history of the church stuff in there, and how basically it spread as an out-group without power to getting into power as a pattern for a group that is dissident in some way to find a pathway, was very interesting. I also thought he balanced the utilitarian need for it with the need for genuine faith. He was very upfront about the need for the genuine belief. And the fact that it wasn't just the utility of it, really, you ultimately have to have genuine belief for all of this to take hold. You can't do it cynically. His stuff about martyrdom, he worked that in very well.
Yes.
That it was an exceptional speech. And I'll let you guys talk about it. I could ramble on it about it for ages, but I will say it's an essay that I'm looking forward to rereading.
Well, for the benefit of everyone that might have just missed it, he was referencing a book for a lot of the speech, and that book was The Rise of Christianity, How the Obscure Marginal Jesus Movement Became the Dominant Religious Force in the Western World in a Few Centuries, written by Rodney Stark. I'll put that in the chat.
Please do. Yes, that is one of the major things he referenced. Thank you for bringing that up. Is there, I don't know, is there any other things in that? It was quite a dense speech as well, and I'm probably missing something. But his general conclusions and his general examples were just well formatted.
Well, it was a
And
very nice worked example of the one thing everyone wants to know, which is how do we do it? And I think part of his conclusion, which maybe he, or not, sorry, part of the thing I think he could have also put in his conclusion slightly would have been, that these opportunities only really come across in times of crisis. And that was what really allowed, as he described it, this sort of vanguard for Christendom to arise within the Roman state was constant crisis of disease. Maybe we can take the
yes.
opportunity of the crisis of disease that is now, and through the very same mechanisms of being a tight-knit group with a singular canon that venerates its martyrs, that maybe we can do something with ourselves, who knows?
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty well put.
As good of a speech it was, I don't actually have too much to say about it. I don't want to ruin it for people who are hoping to read it in its entirety. And again, the reason that we try to release, or everyone tries to release, as little as possible without making it impenetrable from these events is because you kind of need to be there. It really is about the in-person aspect of the event. And I just think he really nailed the idea of the example of the rise of the Christian. He unashamedly used the word cult a lot in its proper
Yes,
context.
I rather
And he,
enjoyed
like
that.
I said, to give an a, he used the term cult and martyr properly. So
Well, that was
that's a step above a lot of other stuff I've
well,
heard.
that was something we discussed that with Millennial Woes a while back in our Purposes of the Distant Right stream, where, as I think I said at one point in the stream, that we are effectively a cult in the way that society is so sort of exclusionary that once you decide you're not part of it, you're already designating yourself as almost part of an in-group by being part of, what they would recognize as the out-group. So you're already sort of self-identifying as something. Once you throw on the top that we have our own ideas that are, in their most basic form, an opposite of what you see in front of you in the real world, and in their, higher form in terms of original concepts and faiths and all sorts of other things, that, we really do operate as a cult. We don't say what we're not. We're not a cult, which is the main difference. And I think that's the one thing people maybe get confused with, and I think that's why Woz wasn't too happy with it, because I think he possibly had connotations that because it's a cult, it's seedy and weird.
There's cult in its proper context, and there's cult in its colloquial modern context. He was using the technical term, which is fine.
Yeah,
Just like.
he expanded it really well for like most of the speech, setting it up, and then going to town with actually using the correct definition of that. That's well done.
Does anyone else have anything to say about that before we move on? Because we're getting a little bit short on time now. Right,
Yeah.
well,
Well,
I
I think
will. We'll move on. Oh,
we
sorry.
already talked about Rupert August's talk, I think, quite a bit for the start, and then
We can just briefly go over it again for people
fair
who
enough.
weren't here. I don't remember. It was very good about kind of a myth of modern Britain, about the idea of the British Logos, specifically British action in that context, what can be done. It was actually quite a practical speech for its kind of lofty goals and lofty rhetoric and some of it. I thought there was a good mix of it there. Again, I was quite aggrieved to miss the last bit of it, so I'm very much looking forward to reading it as an essay. But it did answer a lot of the stuff that I'd called for in my speech in the previous year. And it had a lot of the energy, I think, that needs to be there when you're talking about a specifically British myth and a specifically British mindset. I very much enjoyed what I managed to catch. And like I said, very well done. I look forward to reading its entirety. Is there anyone else?
Small critique was some statements in it I felt like needed a stronger delivery, but by and large, the main point I took away from it, well, 2 points. So, following on from last year's main hiccup of like the specificity of religion to follow, remembering Lambda's speech about like doesn't really give a toss about what kind of Christian you are as long as we're following the core of it. The the Arthurian stuff as it's been coming up, and as I've been enjoying following studies over the past 6 months and everyone else picking up on it, seems to just skirt straight over that issue. And because it's mythology, it doesn't even matter like what denomination you follow, because it's so correct and true to like our British character that comes first, and this feels like a much more productive thing to be following in detail.
Yes, it is. It is really the only foundational myth, pre-modern myth. People talk about Robin Hood as well, but these are the only really foundational pre-modern myth that we have, and it is something that's quite vital, and it is something that still exists in people's minds. So it's a good example, it's a good aspect, and it's something that a thread that needs to be pulled on. But like I and many others have called for, there's a lot of groundwork to be done towards the, I don't know, maybe even in like a Goebbels sense, this idea of the myth of the people does need to be there in some degree, because it's something that exists in all organic societies. It's something that exists very strongly. I remember when I went to see Ed Dutton's speech, and I was talking to someone there who was, you know, his parents were Indian. And he said he identified, you know, very strongly with his ancestral places there. And, you know, he couldn't understand like the civic nationalist people that all the Indians call themselves English didn't make sense to him. It's like, no, I'm Indian. I've taken on pilgrimages. I went up to a mountain to, you know, to my ancestral shrines, and I felt something. I'm not of this land, and I'm comfortable with that. And that was a very, very good conversation I had, because he got it.
God, it's very rare. The 18th century or something like that.
But basically, yes, or at least his mindset seems to have been, because he very much managed to not uproot himself whilst also working here in Britain.
Based Pajit.
He was like the idea of, because I made the Fight Club, you know, sticking your feathers up your butt does not make you a chicken reference, and he was just laughing at that, and he was like, yeah, I don't understand all these Indian people LARPing as British people, because they're essentially just abandoning who they are. And that was a very interesting point to hear from that side of things, to hear from somebody who was very disappointed with his countrymen essentially abandoning their identity and traditions, or at least in a public sense. I know there's a lot of group loyalty there in some ways in the upper echelons, but people talk about certain questions, but people sleep on the Brahmin, you know. I suppose we're gonna have to move on to Sargon's speech if we have to. I'm not honestly quite sure how to approach this, because I didn't feel it was particularly cohesive.
I felt like he needed to add on maybe another 10 minutes, knocking down some actual like hard statements about what he's trying to state. But otherwise, it felt like an appropriate fitting end to it, but it was really hard-hitting with that pretty heart-wrenching Saxon poetry.
It was also, I know he sat down for the speech. He was the only person apart from the panel to sit down, because he was a bit hanging. He was a bit suffering, to be honest, with the long drinking weekend. But it was... I felt it was quite low energy. We could have done something a bit more rousing to end on.
Just ripped apart and exhausted.
Very casual about how he presented it.
I mean, it was okay. Yeah,
it almost felt like a telling off.
It
at one point.
That's it felt like we're in the headmaster's office and he had a headache and he was sick of our shit. Yeah, it was the most Blackpool talk, which is bizarre, because I'm always accused by certain people of being very Blackpilled on certain things. And I don't know, there was something in there I think that really irked me, when he basically said there was no connection between the Anglo-Saxon and the modern Britain, which is kind of the opposite of what Rupert was saying, and kind of the opposite of what I said last year in my speech. Yeah. I mean, my only response to Sargon's kind of okay speech, a little bit rambling, but I don't know. Like I said, I don't really have much to say about it, because I don't think there was much cohesive there.
Yeah, but I mean, I didn't quite get what the crux of it was. It was that we should use postmodernism against postmodernists, which I don't think it really works like that, because you don't have power. And that was what I tried to ask him during the Q&A, where he was, oh, we're going to use this... we're going to use this UN standard for whatever you self-identify as,
Yeah.
is the way that you define your identity. And I said, well, that's all very well and good if you're from like Mozambique and the UN supports your government or the IMF or the World Bank or something like that. But if you're just a white person in England, how do you then get to say who is or isn't English, really, if it's all subjective?
A lot of the stuff we've heard dealt with. Sorry, again.
Yeah, we've literally just seen the BBC basically saying there's no such thing as indigenous people within Europe apart from the Saami or something from Scandinavia. So they've basically already shat on that point.
It's the idea of fitting ourselves into the identity politics framework and self-identifying as native English people, which isn't going to work. Because like you
They're not
said,
going to let it happen.
you end up with, you know, this is how you end up with the new, was it the new Germans, which is the cover of the that Time magazine. If anyone can self-identify and there is no proper gatekeeping mechanism, and there is, you know, I get the point that race and racial distinctions are at some points arbitrary, but you become sovereign by making the exceptions there. And it's like, well, we say who isn't part of it, but it's like, yes, to a point, but we don't have the power to do that, like you said. And there definitely are people who are culturally and ethnically British in a way that outsiders simply aren't, and that flies in the face of the idea of self-identification. You
Don't
know,
forget
we
spiritual racism as well.
yes, there is. There's the idea of the spirit and stuff like that. But the my response really was in my speech last year, in which I say, you know, in terms of the English identity, we have one that is very cohesive. You know, in terms of the way he sees of self, the rights of the Englishman to build a shelter, till the earth, raise a family as he sees fit, defend his property, praise his God, and be unmolested by those who consider themselves his betters, goes back before Locke's homesteading principle and into the mists of Albion. And I'd like the way that that thread was pulled on in Rupert's speech and other people's speeches, but I just think that's my response. You know, that there is this very clear, when you go down to the pub and you talk to people about what it means to them to be, you know, proper English people, have a proper idea of what being English is. And basically, maybe not in those terms, that's what they'll tell you. And that there is this unbroken thread still alive. There, you know, the Anglo-Saxon is still sleeping, as it were. And his idea was that really that he's gone, that none of these people still exist, and that really we just have to LARP as native English people until it becomes true. And that's the point I really could not agree on. It doesn't make sense within the framework. There was a lot of the feminists have taken over Lord of the Rings. There was a lot of, I mean, he's maybe gone from giving the best speech of 2015 to giving the best speech of 2016 or 2017, but it still feels very far behind the curve. And I don't, like I said, there needed to be a bit more of a conclusion in there to bring it all together. As disjointed as I felt Clossington's was at times, it honestly just felt like he was dying on stage. I'm sorry, Clossington, but it was interesting. It was something I wasn't expecting. Thing. It had some meme value, and I would like to know what he was trying to get out of that. But I just, again, maybe that's the point. Maybe it needs to be rewritten. Maybe it works better as an essay. But I'm just not quite sure what the judgment and conclusion was in Sargon's talk there.
I had the impression that he was expecting there to be more rousing, inspiring speeches throughout the day that would have got us all maybe a bit too fired up. And he was there to be the serious dad figure that would have been like,
De-radicalizer.
yeah, like, don't go off, do something stupid now. Be careful and think about what you're doing. And I appreciated that serious note, which I thought was actually complimented by him sitting at a desk, but massively overdid it far too much.
I don't know. I feel like he needs to have a better grasp of some of the theory and literature that this group, the group at Shieldings, ingests.
Yeah, but
Because
he
I
was also being sort of contrary to the whole elitist notion, wasn't he? He basically outright said, stop being stuck up, being so focused on elite stuff. Remember all the little people involved and kind of be a bit populist about it.
Well, he, yeah, but he basically said that those little people, you know, they don't have a proper identity of being British, and that there is no real feeling of Britishness anymore. And I just don't feel that that is a useful sentiment. I also don't think it's true. That was ultimately my takeaway from it, in that it was a bit scattered. But what I did understand, I didn't know if it was fully formed or if I fully agree with it. But I don't want to go in, because there's a lot last year, and there's some this year. There's the tendency of these circles to be to be very, very sog and bullying. I don't want to seem like I'm just jumping in and trying to give his speech a good kicking, because I'm not. There's sparks of things in there. There's bits of points in there, but it's very self-identify as British and get the feminists out of Lord of the Rings. That's all I took away from it. Does anyone else have anything to add on the Carl of Swindon's speech?
No, I think we're coming to head here anyway. Really, it's getting towards that time.
I am getting a little bit low energy myself, but
the same slot he had last year, right at the end, closing it up.
There were quite a few people who had left by that point, unfortunately, and a few people who left during, just because of time. But I hope I got to say goodbye to everybody. I enjoyed meeting everybody who I did manage to speak to. There's a few people out there who I missed, who I only managed to kind of say a brief hello to at the end. So I do apologize for that. I did try and, you know, schmooze and work the room, as it were, because I just like talking to people. There's a lot of interesting people there, and you also have to like fed check everybody. Like you can very easily like shit test people, and just the way that they handle and hold themselves. But again, it was nice seeing you two. I know it's not a regular thing, but again, thank you for the whiskey, Goose. Just thank you for the company, both of you guys as well. It was just, it's so good to see people. I know you both probably have fond memories of the socializing as well.
Yeah.
The Sunday after most people left, that was incredibly cozy. We went for like a peruse around place. Not the Sunday, the Monday. We went round the castle. That was pretty cozy.
Oh, we had to miss that, unfortunately. We had trains to catch, which were all cancelled in the end. On the Sunday evening, we actually went for there's about more than 30 of us who went for Brazilian barbecue. That was quite decent.
Yeah, it was like 36 or something in total.
Yes. And I felt bad for getting like two beers and two cocktails, because a lot of people, we ended up splitting it between all of us, and a lot of people were trying to be cheap and didn't get any drinks. So joke's on you, I had a caipirinha and a pina colada. Although the caipirinha wasn't that great, to be fair, but the pina colada was good. Unfortunately, the best booze I had all weekend, but they were like 15 quid each.
Oh, God.
No, they were 12, sorry, they're £12 each, and they weren't even like massive cocktails. The northerner in me is like, you can get pitchers and Wetherspoons for that, but that's not another.
I'm calling it now. We're heading off, because I've run out of energy. I'm done. I think we all are.
Bye. Yes, I was just rounding out there really with the weekend stuff. Thank you guys for coming.
Thanks for having us.
Yes. Yes, we will try and give some updates. I think I'll send out an email either tomorrow or over the weekend about Nomos and some of the stuff about that, in terms of more practical details, and also our communication platforms. I'll try and make sure everyone's on the mailing list.
Tomorrow afternoon's a good shout. It might be payday for some folk.
Yes, I will send that out tomorrow afternoon, because you're probably right about that. Since everyone's got paid, I've noticed a few more sales on that, so thank you guys. There are a lot of tickets still for sale, but like I said, we haven't really revealed all the details yet, and I'm hoping that does increase. As always, we have our regular streams on Thursdays. Sometimes we try and do them on Mondays, but we try and be here every week about 8:30 now. We've moved it up a bit since 9 is a bit brutal here in the UK. Thank you guys for coming. Thank you to everyone who we met at the event. Thank you to all the speakers. Thanks to all the organizers. And yeah, it was a good weekend. I hope to have more of them. I hope to see more of you at Nomos London on the 29th.
Roll on next year's.
Yes, roll on next year's. So I'll say goodbye from me.
And goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Right, we are.